So what are we to make of the Holy Spirit? That is the question for today, the Feast of Pentecost, the day on which we mark the sending of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' disciples. I want you to notice that I said sending of the Holy Spirit and not the coming, and that's because the Holy Spirit was already present and active in the world, not waiting in the wings for a turn in some kind of Trinitarian relay race. The Holy Spirit hovered over the water at creation and was breathed into human beings. The Holy Spirit filled Hannah at prayer and David at dance. The Holy Spirit inspired the prophets and brought life to the dry bones at Ezekiel's command. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and drove Jesus into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit is one with God the Father and God the Son, without beginning and without end. But more about that next week when it's Trinity Sunday. Today, on the Feast of Pentecost, we remember that the Spirit is not simply now and always present and active in the world, but was in fact sent specifically to Jesus' disciples, and so is sent specifically to us today. And our readings this morning point the way to understanding why. In John's account of the gospel, which we just heard, Jesus promises the Spirit to the disciples before he is arrested, executed, and resurrected. The giving of the Spirit itself occurs during his post-resurrection visit to the disciples, when they are locked away in fear and sorrow, and Jesus comes with peace and breathes the Holy Spirit onto them. There is no Feast of the Pentecost in John's account. And in John, Jesus uses a very intriguing word to name the Holy Spirit. The New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which is what we use on Sundays, uses the word advocate. Other common translations, which you might be familiar with, include counselor, comforter, teacher, or even simply helper. Now, as you may be expecting, none of these words quite gets it right, although they all point in the right direction, if at slightly different angles. The Greek word is parakletos, and a very literal translation would be something like the one who is called to come alongside. It often appears in legal contexts, referring to an advisor of some sort, or a character witness, perhaps, someone who offers guidance, support, and solidarity, and may even speak on one's behalf or in one's defense. So you can see how all of those English words are present in this idea, and how, depending on the particular situation, one aspect of a parakletos' work might rise to the surface. Advocate, counselor, teacher, comforter. In John, Jesus says that the parakletos will do some very specific things. Testify on Jesus' behalf, revealing the error of the world in thinking that sin cannot be forgiven, and that righteousness is revealed only in triumph, and that judgment belongs only to the powerful. And then, as the disciples are ready to hear, the Spirit will speak to the disciples too, guiding them into the truth and equipping them to testify faithfully and with courage, even in the face of a world that rejects them. Now, the stories in the Gospel of John and in the book of Acts, which is the sequel volume to the Gospel according to Luke, are very different. But the work of the Spirit revealed in those stories is the same. In Acts, the promise to send the Spirit comes not before Jesus' death, but before his ascension, a departure of a different sort. And then the actual ascending occurs not through Jesus' own breath, but in a miraculous experience 10 days after the disciples saw him leave the earth. And the story we have is clearly a grasping for images to describe an indescribable experience, a sound like the rush of a violent wind, the appearance of divided tongues as of fire, and then the miracle of communication in languages unknown to the speaker but needed by the hearer, followed by the inspired preaching of Peter. In this story, the Parakletos comes with more drama, but is still entirely recognizable, teaching and equipping and testifying, making it possible for the disciples to communicate beyond their own abilities. And then again, in Paul's letter to the Romans, a different context, but the same work. This time, the Parakletos unites us to creation and speaks our truest, holiest desires to God, when we are unable sometimes to even admit to wanting them, never mind being able to articulate them. And so taken together, we see a clear picture of what the Holy Spirit has been sent to do for us and with us. And it fits with what we know of the Spirit from the witness of other biblical stories as well. The Spirit guides, inspires, empowers God's creatures to fulfill the will of God, whether by coming to life, by prophesying, by praying, by giving praise, by withstanding trials, by bearing witness. And so think of your own life. Think of times when you did not know what to do, or times when you knew what you needed to do but did not know how in the world you could possibly do it. Think of times when you simply didn't have the words. Times when you didn't have the strength. The Spirit, the Parakletos, is the one who came alongside you and enabled you to hear and to heed the call of God, who gave you the words or their alternative when you needed them, the one who filled you with the courage or the stamina or the hope, maybe not as much as you would have liked, but enough for what you needed, the one who came alongside you as advocate, counselor, comforter. But there is another important aspect to the work of the Spirit that is revealed in all three of our readings this morning. In every case, John's Gospel, Luke's Book of Acts, and Paul's letter, the Spirit's work points the way to God's future. In John, Jesus says that the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. In Acts, the miracle, Peter tells us, is the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy and of the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And in Romans, the Spirit sustains us in our waiting and gives voice to our longing for God's redemptive recreation. For the work of the Spirit is not simply for our own well-being, our own understanding, our own relationship to God. The work of the Spirit draws us beyond ourselves and equips us for service in the redemption and transformation of the world, drawing us into the very work of God, to speak words of truth and justice, to enact relationships of mercy and peace, to come alongside the hurting world and offer comfort, counsel, and solidarity as is needed and as you are made able. So think of your own life again. Where do you have opportunity to show the work of the Spirit? Where can you stretch past what is comfortable in order to speak truth or offer grace or give hope? How can you testify in word or action to God's desire for the world? And if you wonder, when you wonder if you can really do it, or whether it will do any good even if you do, have faith that you can and it will, because we have not been left alone, but have been sent the Parakletos, our advocate, counselor, and comforter, who helps us in our weakness and gives us ability beyond our own, according to the will of the triune God. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and set us on fire with your love. Amen.